So looking this morning at the curtain, as you've seen with the kids, there are some things that are made to be destroyed, to be ripped open, contrary to whatever my mother taught me. There are some things that are there to conceal and then to reveal. And that's what we're looking at this morning with the curtain. God has been giving us this tabernacle, this teaching aid, to show us lessons about Him. We've seen how it teaches us how we come to Him, the approach, the one gate, the place of sacrifice, the place of washing, and then we come to the tent. And inside the tent there, we've seen the inside says, here's what it's like to know God. There's a tree of light and life. There's a table provided or stocked with food, painting a picture of the God who provides. There's a right before the throne of God, before the Ark of the Covenant, is this altar of incense with this beautiful fragrant incense rising up, saying to the people, this is what your prayer is like. God loves to hear you pray. But then there's this barrier, this curtain that we want to look at today. A huge 15 feet wide, 15 feet high. According to some Jewish sources, it was 4 inches thick. That would seem to be so heavy it would have pulled the tabernacle down. But certainly the curtain in the temple that we're going to look at in a moment or two was the span of a man's hand at about 8 to 9 inches thick. But it was a solid curtain. It wasn't something light and fluffy like these. There would have been weight to it. But what's it saying? It's saying two things. Well, it's saying one thing, really. And then something happens to it that says something else. It's a curtain that says no entry. That's the first thing that we want to see. It's a curtain that says no entry. God, as it were, anticipates their curiosity. He knows that the people of God would want to look in at what's behind this curtain. What's in that room? We're in a new building today, and you know, those of us who are curious people will want to open every door and see what's in every room. Well, what God says to His people in putting this curtain here is He places on it 2 gold-embroidered angelic beings. These were the angelic beings that guarded the way into God's presence. They said to the people of God, no entry. The people of God knew about it from the book of Genesis. In chapter 3, when Adam and Eve rebel against God, they are sent out of the Garden of Eden. And God places a cherubim with a flaming sword guarding the way back in to the presence of God. And the curtain has these 2 of these creatures on it, saying to the people, do not enter. Do not come near. There's no way that you're to come past this at this time. And why is that? Why does God say, don't come very close to me? Well, there's 2 reasons for that. First of all, it's because of sin. It's because of sin. Adam and Eve had been sent out of God's presence. They'd rejected God's rule. That's what sin is. Sin isn't simply doing bad stuff. Sin is rejecting God's right or God's authority to rule our lives. It is saying we were made to know God. We were made by God to live in God's world, to breathe His air, to enjoy a relationship to Him. And sin is anything that says to God, no thanks, it's not me and you, it's me and me. It's all about me. I live my life for me, for my friends, for my family, for my goals, for my dreams. It's all about me. Or me and whoever else I want to include, but not you. I'll maybe call on you, God, whenever I need you, but you'll stay over there and I will summon you. That's the essence of sin. We can slam the door on God in a very violent, crude and ugly way. The things that we normally think of as sins, the bad stuff. Or we can close the door on God in a gentle, polite sort of way. But we're still closing the door on God. The way we close the door doesn't change the fact that we've closed the door. And this is serious. This is what sin is. And I think most people live in a sense in a form of denial. They deny God His relationship and then they deny that they're doing it. They deny God His rights and then they try to cover it up. We wear masks. We compare ourselves with others. We try to keep up appearances. Well, I'm not as bad as them. Look at the good things I do. But God won't have it. God won't have it. God won't let us carry on as if there is nothing wrong. And he's been painting a picture here with the tabernacle and its high fence round the outside. It's one gate. It's restricted access only to certain people at certain times. He's been painting a picture saying, you are not ready to come into my presence. And what he's been doing on the outside, he does on the inside as well. He says to the people, in effect, did you hear it in the passage we read from Leviticus? Your rebellion and your uncleanness and your sin. He's saying to the people, sin and me don't mix. Because of sin, you can't come close to me. So the way is closed because of sin. The way into God's most close and intimate presence, that's what the most holy place is closed. We're not able to come in. We're not able to get in. And what that's saying is, we can't come near to God in his most holy place, which is a picture of heaven. We can't come into God's presence because of our sin, because of our rebellion, because of our closing the door on God. And that applies to all of us. People think that, well, God will let me in. You know, he's not such a bad sort, he'll let me in. God has been teaching all along, right from the book of Genesis, right the way through, no. No, no, sin means I close the door. The shutters come down. So you won't get in here unless your sin has been dealt with. That's part of the big lesson here. The second reason that we can't come in is because of imperfect sacrifices. Because of imperfect sacrifices. Because you might say to me, but surely, Mark, over the last number of weeks, you've been telling us that if you come the right way in through the one gate and you come to the place of sacrifice where a substitute takes your place, the altar, which is a picture of the cross of Calvary, where Jesus takes our place, and we ask God to make us clean, that's the basin. You've been telling us that if you come the right way, you can come in to God's presence and enjoy God's blessing. And yes, I have. Well, why then inside is there a great curtain that says you can't come any closer? Well, it wasn't completely closed. We read in Leviticus 16. Now, I know there's an awful lot of detail that we're not going to touch today, maybe some other time, but the gist of it was that on one day in the year, the high priest, coming with a sacrifice on the day of great sacrifice, could come in to the most holy place. On one day of the year, on the day of great sacrifice, the priest goes in. Now he has to go in twice. He has to go in once with a sacrifice for himself, because he is a sinner. He too has rejected God's right to rule in his life. And then he comes out, and then he goes back in with a sacrifice on behalf of the people, because they're guilty too. On the day of great sacrifice, the people wait outside, wondering, is he going to come out alive? Because if he doesn't come out alive, then God has judged him and he's judged us. He hasn't accepted our sacrifice. Then the high priest would come out of the tabernacle and the crowd would cheer and be excited that God had accepted their sacrifice and they were forgiven. And the picture of it was that he got in, the high priest, not all the people, one person got in on one day of the year. And God saying to them, there's a level of closeness and intimacy that is not available yet. It's not available yet. Remember when we looked at the altar? These types of sacrifices of sheep and goats and bulls and doves aren't enough. They're not a fair swap. They're not a good substitute for me, a guilty sinner. They're animals. And I'm a human being. And so God is teaching the people, you can't come to me except by means of sacrifice. He's drumming it into their minds. But they know it's not enough. He wants them to know it's not enough. He says, so you can't have everything yet. We're waiting for the day when there will be a great sacrifice. A sacrifice of such colossal worth by a high priest who has no flaws in himself, who is a perfect high priest. We are waiting for that day. We're longing for that day. Could there be such a day that would push back this curtain once and for all so that not just one person could go in, but everybody could go into the presence of God? Could there be such a day? There's that sense of longing is being created by God. For 1,500 years, that longing will be there. But the imperfect sacrifices don't cut it. They don't do it. They aren't enough to open up the way for all of God's people to come into the presence of God. We're to look for something better. And that should be a challenge to us all as we're thinking, yes, I know, maybe you're saying I'm guilty before God. I know that I'm not right before God. But you may think, well, I'm doing all these things to get right with God. What we do is not enough. That is an imperfect sacrifice. And it's only a perfect sacrifice, a flawless sacrifice, because if I do stuff to impress God, I'm still flawed. Aaron had to offer a sacrifice for himself as a sinner before he could do anything else to God. He had to get himself clean first. And how can we do things to offset our sin if we are still sinning by our very living and breathing? We're caught. We need something else. We need a perfect sacrifice. So here is God saying, you can't come in. You can't come in as a guilty person. And you can't come in trying to make yourself right. But then the second thing we see, if there's a curtain that says no entry, then something happens to that curtain that now says come in. A curtain that says come in. Imagine, you know, somewhere out on the outskirts of Letterkenny, there's a building site and it is surrounded by hoardings. And you're wondering what's going on. What's being built here? And you try to look over and you can't see in. You find a hill. Imagine finding a hill in Letterkenny. Where you try to look down into the site, but you can't. You can't see what's going on. And this goes on for weeks and months. And then one day, you're walking past and the wind has blown one of the hoardings down and you see in. And there's this beautiful landscaped driveway and gardens. And this fine house. And you're stunned by it. At least I would be. You know, that's me. Architecture. Wow. Wonderful. And you just wouldn't look. You'd step through and you'd look around and you'd be up the driveway and you'd be, if you're as nosy as me, you'd be in the door and you'd be having a look around. The wonder of the design would be drawing you in because there's been a hole in the fence. Well, what we've got here, 1,500 years after the book of Exodus, there's a hole in the fence. Not a small hole, a gaping hole. And if you were to turn to Mark 15, you don't have to, we're time's moving on, but let me read it to you. Mark 15, verse 37 and 38. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The temple was a scaled up version of the tabernacle. And the curtain in this case is not 15 feet by 15 feet. It's 60 feet high, 30 feet wide. It, according to early Jewish sources, it's 9 inches thick. This is a heavy brute of a thing. Apparently it took 300 men to move. So that's the sort of curtain we're talking about. We're not talking about one of these that, you know, a tremor might have caused it to split or a weakness in the stitching. This is something solid. But the day came when it was torn. Imagine the shock and the awe in the temple as this curtain, as the priests look, and this curtain is torn. 60 feet of a gash from top right down to bottom. And the way into the holy place that had been closed for so long is open. Well, how had it been opened? How had it been opened? Well, God draws a connection that makes it very clear. This new way, this new access came at a price. That's what we want to look at now. The price of the access. This torn curtain isn't an accident of nature. It came at a price. Hebrews 10 describes it in verses 19 and 20 as a permanent and living way. A new and living way. It's a permanent opening. And for there to be a permanent opening in the no entry barrier that we couldn't come through because of sin, it must mean that sin has been dealt with in such a way that God is satisfied. That's what it must mean. If this curtain has been torn supernaturally, then something has happened that means that God has satisfied that sin has been dealt with. That there has been a sacrifice of such colossal worth by a perfect high priest that the wrath of God has been paid for. That there's now no judgment, there's now nothing that would keep a person out of God's presence. And God makes it clear, because at the very moment that the curtain is torn, outside the city gates of Jerusalem, on the cross, the perfect high priest is offering the greatest sacrifice. Perfect high priest is offering a sacrifice of infinite worth. How do you put a value on someone's life? How do you put a price on it? Well, how do you put a price on the life of God the Son? You can't measure the value of God the Son. He is more valuable than all of everything in the known universe and the unknown universe put together. He is the most valuable entity in the universe, and He has been given, and He has come, and He has sacrificed Himself so that the way to God could be open. Here's the price of access. Hebrews 10, if you look at it. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Throughout the Old Testament, God had been teaching the people, you can't come in unless there's been sacrifice, unless there's been blood. Blood opens the curtain. A substitute that dies in your place opens the way. And now there has been a substitute whose value is so inestimably high that we are able to enter into the presence of God. That's the price of access. The writer, the Hebrews, underlines it and he says, a way, a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body. One writer calls this a daring and poetic analogy. He says it's not to be pressed too far. You know, we could get into all sorts of weird and wonderful ideas of how the curtain was a picture of Jesus' body. And, you know, well, it's not particularly in this one aspect. It is, as His body was being torn on the cross by the nails and by the rough surface of the cruel timbers, as His soul was, as it were, being torn apart from His Father, as He was being torn, the curtain was being torn. Because His body was being torn, the curtain was being torn. Because the curtain was torn, His body must have been being torn. Because the great sacrifice was being made, the great way was being made open. Because the opening was being secured at the cross, the opening was made into the way, into the holy place, into the place of God. Both were being torn by God. It was a supernatural tear from the top down. The significance of that is somebody didn't run in with a Stanley knife and hack through it and rip it up the way. It came from 60 feet up and came right down to the bottom, torn clean in two. Here's God opening the way because the price has been paid. Perhaps you're wondering, how do I get to God? Well, here's God saying, this is the way. It's by what's happening at the cross. You want to come into my presence? Go to the cross. And you might wonder, is it enough? Is this enough to pay for my sin? It's the blood of Jesus, the Son of God. How could it not be enough? You see the wonderful comfort there is here if you're thinking, oh, I've done some things that I know that are terrible, or I have a whole track record of ignoring God. Here's this wonderful assurance that you can't out-sin the infinite blood of Christ. unless you ignore the blood of Christ completely, unless you don't come to Him for forgiveness. But if you've done things, you can come to Him. You can say, please forgive me. And there is a sacrifice of such colossal worth that it will unlock the gates, pull back the curtain, and usher you in. Now, if you're a Christian, have you forgotten the price that was paid? Do we take it for granted when we read that there's been a new and living way opened up for us by the blood of Jesus and we move on? Or do we stop there and wonder? The price of the access, the fullness of the access then. I want us to think about this for a moment or two. In the Old Testament, the curtain was pulled back at the side on one day in the year, and the high priest would slip in to the presence of God. Now it has been torn wide open. Now it is open for all and sundry. All who come through Christ. Charles Spurgeon says, it was torn not in a corner, but in the middle. Not a slight rent through which we might see a little of the glory, but an entrance made for the greatest of sinners. It's a great gaping hole for the greatest of sinners. He says it was not done in a corner, but it's done right in the middle, so that we might see through to the throne of God. You know, God doesn't save us to come and sneak in at the corner and stand there, you know, hoping that He mightn't notice us, as if God's embarrassed by us. The front door is what He brings us in, right in the middle. He says, come in and stand in front of me. He doesn't bring us in the side door and say, stand over there. Here's fullness of access. The Christian comes into God's presence and has full access to God Himself. It's not just for the special people like the high priest. The writer of the Hebrews says, we have confidence. The word can be translated boldness. It can even be translated, we have the right. What a staggering thing. We have the right to come into the presence of God. And not just once a year, but we can keep on coming in. Hebrews 10 verse 22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. The way it's put there, it means let us continue. It's a present tense. We're to keep on coming in to the presence of God. We have full and glorious access to God. Not just for forgiveness, but access to God Himself. You know, prayer is not just something we do. It's talking to God Himself. It's a means to the end of enjoying our relationship with God. Here, reading God's Word is not just something we do. It's a means to an end of hearing God speak to us. We have access into the presence of God. I want to ask us, do we make the most use of this access? Charles Spurgeon again says, the rent veil brings us nothing until we have boldness to enter in. Do we have boldness to come to God? To keep on reading His Word, even when we don't feel like it? To come to Him in prayer? Sometimes, you know, Christians come to me and they say they're struggling with something. And the first question I ask them is, how's your Bible reading and prayer going? Oh, I haven't done that for about 2 weeks. And I go, well, is it any wonder you're struggling? There may be other reasons why you're struggling, but this is what you need to do to get you back to the right sort of place to deal with the other problems. We need to come into the presence of God because we have full access. Spurgeon again says, why do you stand afar off and tremble? And when you've sinned, come boldly to God. Not with the bold-faced defiance of, I've done nothing wrong. But come to God and say, I have done something wrong. Please forgive me, and I know that You will accept me back again. Come into the presence of God. You've sinned and fallen. Come boldly, knowing that the way is open for you. So there's the fullness of the access. And then the finality of the access. The curtain is not pulled back. It is not rolled up. It is not unclasped and set aside for future use. It is ruined and put beyond use. It hangs as a glorious testament to the fact that the way is open and is staying open. It was done by God. It is not going to be repaired by God. And man can't replace it. So here, through Jesus, is a way that is open and stays open. Now that's not just me reading too much into the symbolism of the torn curtain. It's God Himself in His Word saying in Romans 5, verse 2, it talks about, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access." We have gained access. It's a perfect tense. It means that we have access and we will continue to have access. Hebrews chapter 10, "A new and living way opened for us," is a tense that means it was opened in the past. And it's just opened. It's opened and it's open. That's just what it is. It stays opened. It is opened. It will be opened. It's opened. God's Word underlines that this access is open. Ephesians 2. "Through Him we have access to the Father by the one Spirit." Nothing and no one can close this door for God's people. Not your sin, not Satan. Hear Spurgeon on this. "The devil himself can never divide me from God now. He may and will attempt to shut me out from God, but the worst he could do would be to hang up a rent veil. What good would that avail but to exhibit his impotence?" All the devil can do is hang up a torn veil. What does that show? It shows you how useless he is at trying to separate us from God. And Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" He says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you get Paul's finality here? Do you get the certainty that the Christian has? Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our sin can't separate us. It may ruin and it will ruin our enjoyment of the closeness, but it will not draw the curtain back across. It will not repair the tear. Not Satan, not sin, not sickness, not the depths of depression, not death itself can separate the Christian from this access they have to their Heavenly Father. You see the lessons? See the Christian's great privilege? I want to finish with simply one reverse application. Christ has given you, if you're a Christian, full and free access to God. The question is, have you given Him full and free access into your life? Do we stand with our hands outstretched in worship and thankfulness that He has given us such free access? Or do we stand with our arms wrapped around something saying, "You're not coming in here. You're not coming in. You're not having this bit of my life. This far and no further." How could we possibly say that to the one who at such a price opened up such full and free and glorious access for us? Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank You and praise You for this gateway, this gaping hole into Your presence by which we can come. We thank You for Jesus Christ being torn, as it were, on the cross and crying out, my God, why have You forsaken me?" Being torn apart from You as Father so that we could have entrance into Your presence and enjoy You as Father. Oh Lord God, let us enjoy Your presence. Let us come more into Your presence. Let us relish Your presence And Father in heaven, we pray that for those our circle of family, our circle of friends who don't yet know you as their Savior and Lord, that they would come to the perfect sacrifice that opens up the way into your presence once and for all, with certainty and assurance that they would come and take hold of him, rather than relying on their own efforts or on their own religiosity or on the half-done schemes of men that will not open the way fully. We pray, Lord God, they would come and put their trust in Christ. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.